We'll begin. We read today something commonly heard during Advent season. It's called the Magnificat, words that Mary spoke at a very important time in the history of the world. These words are found in Luke 1. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. We know how to compliment, how to praise certain people who impress us with their level of talent, their accomplishments, especially if it's got some entertainment value involved. For example, we might say, what a great game that was. What a great team. What a great season. Or maybe it sounds like this. What a great song. What a wonderful performance. As followers of Christ, worshipers of God, let's agree up front that God alone deserves a better kind of praise on a much grander scale. What a great God, we should say. And not just every now and then, not on a mere whim, not only for an hour on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening, not when the Lord is quite busy working to show us his impressive qualities, his amazing accomplishments revealed in his word. That's the time to be wowed by God. The time to be impressed. When God demonstrates his glory to us, we, like Mary, will volunteer the praise as a good Spirit-worked response of our faith. Yes, she is the example, her Magnificat, her well-known words that she said when she learned that she would be the mother of the Messiah. Mary shows you the place where the praise of God's greatness will have to begin. It starts with a humble attitude about yourself. Consider, when Mary was chosen to be the mother of the Savior, she had a most unique status. No other woman on earth could claim this, no other person. And yet it did not become a source of pride, a reason for her to become full of herself, as the expression goes. No, quite to the contrary. In humility, she said that God, her Savior, note that, her Savior, has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. In humility, she confessed that the Lord exalts the lowly and fills the hungry with good things. Mary points our eyes to the bottom level. Or as Prof. Sullivan said in a recent chapel, it's from the depths. From the depths. If we come before God full of ourselves, then there's no room in here, inside the heart, to receive what He offers. On the other hand, if we, like Mary, are before God broken in our sins, empty containers to be filled, then we're going to be filled with His gifts. And the praise will follow without any prompting. Here we all need to recognize our own undeniable unworthiness as sinners. And I don't mean the knee-jerk response that's almost begrudging, yeah, I make some mistakes too. But rather a keen awareness of the fact that I, you, rebel against God and deserve His rejection. You're in the right spot now. From that depth, from that position of humility, we can look up in a spiritual way and see more clearly the impressive, praiseworthy feature of God's grace that keeps giving to us what we don't deserve to get, what the Bible sums up by words like salvation, eternal life, the real reason for the joy of Christmas. What we celebrate at Christmas also involves a mystery. The Bible calls it the mystery of godliness. That Almighty God became one of us through the miracle of the virgin birth. We can't possibly answer all the questions you might have about that. But still, we all can learn to appreciate more and more the magnitude of what God did. Essentially, He gave us Himself in a profound way. Through that miracle in Bethlehem, Jesus was born for us, given to us as the only perfect child who would become the only perfect man and establish our perfect record with God. As promised, Jesus would be our righteousness and secure our forgiveness from God and be the sure guarantee of eternal life, already won for you, freely given to you in His Word. In this gift of the Christ child, we begin to see the glory of God on display in the form of promises kept, prophecies fulfilled. We see amazing power in action and a wonderful plan of grace unfold. All of it done for us along with all people. Let's fight the tendency to be casual about it. Let's fight the tendency to only pay a little attention to it now and then. Let God wow you in Christmas, Good Friday, and Easter. They all go together. As significant events that change your life. Let God impress you at the manger and the cross and the empty tomb of Christ. Then the praise will come. Our faith will gladly declare it. Our own way of saying, what a great gift God has given to me. What a great Lord and Savior I have. We need help with this, surely, and so we pray. Lord, help us to be like Mary and the shepherds, to see Your impressive power and grace in Christ, and to praise You for it always. In His name we ask it. Amen. Let us close today singing both stanzas of hymn 78.
robotics briefly over there after chapel?